dancing, and I'm in here needing questions answered.
Making sense in a mad, mad world. You are now listening to The Madness Collective.
This is actually our last show before we go on hiatus, so please watch the entire show. That's
nobody's watching
Stop
the whole
it.
Show.
No. I am Crescent Muhammad. I have my co-host, Antoine.
Hey.
You better shine these first 5 minutes. That's
Tina McDowell. Do you want to go ahead and say hi again?
Hi, Tina McDowell.
And our special guest, Kenny Young.
Kenny Young.
It's his birthday.
Kenny Young is the author of Whoopins, which we're going to get to in segment three. So really, you should stick around for that long.
And I never knew it was spelled that way. I still disagree. Like, it can't be spelled that way for real.
So it's not a word that's meant to be spelled. Yes. You said
we'll have this conversation.
I never asked my dad.
During segment three.
You know niggas always got to be unique.
So much going on today. So, as you can tell, we have a new set arrangement. Again, thank you, Antoine, for the surprise set. Yay! All right, quickly. So we've sort of merged Hot Topics and Weekly Housekeeping and Weekly Hot Topics this episode. I very, very briefly want to mention Syria and Egypt. Madness, chaos is ensuing. Syria, there appears to have been a chemical weapons warfare. Sorry. There scores of people are dead from chemical warfare. However, it's not clear if that's exactly what happened, if it was the government that did it. The government is saying rebel forces did it. The administration, U.S. Obama's administration, is sending naval forces, are getting a little bit closer. Obviously, the U.S. is still trying to figure out what they're going to do. Ditto with Egypt. There were a planned day of protests on Friday that was sort of curtailed because the Egyptian security forces put such a heavy presence out. And right now, it seems that the new military government is seeming to hold on to the power. And again, the U.S. is not entirely clear how we're going to respond to this, but I did want to just quickly get that out. So stuff that we talked about last week, Harriet Tubman sex tape. Not money.
That's a contrast from
Syria
to the Harriet
Tubman. Horrible transition. Cop to that. I know. My bad. I tried to do better with our transitions. No. That one was really hard. No. My bad. Sorry. So there's a relative of Harriet Tubman, Rita Daniels, who's the great-great-grandniece of Tubman. She wants a personal apology from Russell Simmons. She was, of course, appalled by the video, but she said it occurred at a particularly bad time because it was the 100th anniversary of Harriet Tubman's death.
Yeah,
Oh, no.
Way to commemorate.
Which I'm sure they didn't know. I'm sure they didn't know.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. How horrible was that?
So although then, I will say, when I read the article and just... I guess it's different when, you know, with somebody, this is part of your family and you've grown. But, you know, for me personally, I'm like, yeah, it was kind of fucked up, but personal apologies and fucking starting a foundation and all this shit, I'm like, no, that's
a little much.
It's too much.
It's a little overboard, which is why I kind of left it out. I was like, she wants a personal apology and there's some other stuff she wants, but I was like, we're not going to talk about that.
Yeah.
She wants a shot at it.
And he did apologize. I don't think she deserves a personal apology.
I didn't even know
people could trace their lineage back to Harriet. That's what I learned from the article. Yeah.
But to your point, though, if it were family members, I'd be a little bit more irate. So
I'd just be like, Russell, give me some money, and I'd be quiet. Just give me some money.
We're going to give an update on Robin Thicke and Blur Line. in the music segment. I don't care.
I was going to say she was a slave. She don't even know who her real kids and kids were.
She does know who her kids are. What you mean she doesn't know who her kids are?
She
popped them out. They are kids.
Educate her.
It was a bad joke. It was a bad joke.
You know what? She fucked the joke up. That's what it is.
I didn't fuck it up.
Niggas need to prepare.
I didn't fuck it up.
Speaking of amazing black women.
She knows her kids. She gave birth to them.
Because this is the last episode, forget it. Forget structure.
People get sold and people get taken. You don't always know who your kids are. That's why
they say... And jokes are supposed to be simple and like yours is very complicated. You have to explain.
You have to be educated.
I guess you're the only educated nigga in this room because nobody else got it.
Slavery humor has to be handled. I'm sure you can make some jokes about slavery.
Hey,
Kenny, I might have to start a YouTube page called Slavery Humor. I might have to swap that from you.
Can we,
Slavery
can we,
Humor.
Can I?
I don't know if you can.
I'm going to.
I don't know if you can.
Slave joke.
Tell us a slave joke.
Because you know I don't care about Robin Thicke. Yeah, Alan Thicke. Anyway, we're going to get to him in a segment, music segment.
Woo.
Speaking of amazing black women, Antoinette Tuff. Whoa. Out of Atlanta,
stopped
a gunman with just her words.
Yeah.
She did not do like the NRA said, and have she was not armed to the teeth with her own weapons.
With a name like Tuff, she got to be tough.
Hello?
Yeah, absolutely.
So she came in, he came in, the gunman followed a parent inside because you do actually have to get buzzed into this particular school. He had an AK-47 and he fired a shot into the ground, and then she encountered him and started engaging him in the conversation, and he was like, I want you to call the news. Like, he was looking for attention.
Yeah.
But she talked him down.
She gave him attention.
Mm-hmm. She did.
Yeah, she did. And she's so calm. You could tell she's a very special lady. She mentioned that her kid has
multiple disabled. More than one disability.
So you have to have extreme patience in dealing with something like that.
Talked about what I liked was the fact that she didn't go to a place where on the spot she's trying to try, I guess, some unique approach to this situation.
Right.
She talked to him about herself.
Yeah.
That's how she talked him down about her own personal.
And so in one of the articles that talked about negotiation tactics, they were like, she didn't say, don't hurt anybody.
Yeah.
Please don't shoot me.
Well, she didn't. About that.
No, she didn't. She was like, she was even saying, I love you.
Right. Yeah.
People go through things.
Yeah.
I just lost my husband. We've been together for 26 years. We just got a divorce.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, I have a disabled son. I have a daughter in college. I'm going through some stuff too.
Yeah.
How amazing is that?
The stuff that they try to teach people for years to do, she just innately did.
Yeah, she innately did,
but she was one of three staffers at the school who are trained to deal with crazy situation.
Oh, I know that. I didn't know.
Yeah, so she's, but still, negotiation tactics experts were like, she was very good.
Training is very different than when the gun is in your face.
Exactly.
Maybe she might get a new job out of this.
She said she also just started a business, which wasn't clear to me exactly what it was, but hopefully she'll get funding from this. Like, I mean, again, she's like, people, of course, are calling her a hero.
Why was that in the article that she's starting a new business?
Because they were asking.
Niggas always hustling.
She was relaying what she told him, so that's how it came up.
She was marketing.
It revolved around kids. Whatever it is, it involves kids. So they were asking her about her job as a bookkeeper and what else she does and all stuff. So she was like, well, I have this, and I was telling him about I've started new things. That she was telling him how she's turned her life around. Lord help us all.
Stuff records. Well, this is a predominantly black school. That's a hit.
You know what? So, Kimmy just asked a question. Was it a predominantly black school? It is Atlanta. I'm not sure. I don't know.
It's Atlanta.
Yeah.
Somebody tried to shoot it up.
Yeah, I think they showed the kids.
They were all black.
I don't know. I didn't observe, but that's one thing that people. Hey, I'm happy I don't know the gunman's name. We know her name, but we don't know his name and what he really wants.
Which is good.
It is, exactly.
But he didn't seem like he was really all that crazy. I mean, if you're really crazy, if you really want to go there and shoot up something, you shoot something up. But he just wanted to talk.
He wanted attention.
He was like,
he just wanted some attention.
I wonder if other kids that shoot up schools are the exact same way. They just don't have a Mrs. Tuff to talk to.
I think most of them are.
Yeah, I don't know.
A lot of them are kids
that have been bullied. And they're like, I'm going to show you. You've been bullying me all these years. So, and a lot of it is that.
This was an even more depressing story. Speaking of crazy people with guns, there were three teenagers who killed a man because they were bored. So there are three teenagers, two black and one white, ages 15, 16, and 17 years old, who killed 23-year-old Christopher Lane, who was a baseball player from Australia, who was a student at a local college in Oklahoma.
He was kind of cute, too.
Yeah, he was talented.
And so
I hate it when cute people die.
The driver of the car, who I think was a 17-year-old, was the driver of the car. He was the one who told the police, we were bored. And just, we had guns, and we're like,
why are we so heartless? That's very sad that we're so heartless in this day and age that I'm just bored.
So what became interesting for me about the story was the reaction from, let's say, some conservative sources.
Townhall.com specifically was one of them.
They were like, oh, the black people got so mad when Trayvon Martin, that whole case went down. Why aren't they all up in arms? Where's Jesse Jackson?
Where's Jesse and Al, and why isn't Obama saying, oh, this could have been me? And I'm like, who's Obama supposed to identify? Exactly.
Zimmerman didn't even get arrested. These kids, the law is doing what they're supposed to do. They've been arrested. Everything is happening the way it's supposed to happen when you do something fucked up.
Exactly.
That didn't happen in the Zimmerman
Thank you.
Trial.
And so Gawker has an article titled, Calm Down, White People.
No. I don't want us to look racist at all.
We're not racist. I'm not racist.
I want it to be said that it is absolutely appalling.
It is.
That the black kids did that. I want to make
No, it's appalling that the kids did it. This is not a racial thing.
Oh, you're right.
So that's
right.
One of the kids was white. It's not racial. These were three bored kids who decided to kill a person.
I just
want to
make it clear. I didn't bring up the white factor. Gawker brought it up and said, white people, be quiet. And I know why.
Because white people have been up
because they were the ones
it.
Who were like, where's Al Sharpton? Yeah. Where's Jesse Jackson?
It turned to a white thing right there. And I don't want it to be a white or black thing. I just want to make sure that I'm not on the side of either.
It's not a white black thing.
And that's the point.
I think it's made one.
Yes. Yeah, they're turning it into it because, initially when the story came out, they said it was two black youths and a mixed youth.
Actually, I kept seeing three black youths.
Yeah, and eventually you found out one of them was actually white. And I did see him. He does look like he got some blackberries on his tree. So when I saw it, I could understand why they kind of, but a lot of times, you know, people were saying, well, they automatically just assumed it was, you know, three, and it turns out it was two blacks and a white. So,
which brings up a point. The media steers us. I believe the media is the biggest reality TV show that there
Absolutely.
Is. It's the big, it, really, they steer Absolutely. Us and they get us all riled up. And I'm very careful. Careful not to watch news. You got to watch news because you got to participate in the world a little bit. But then there's another part of me that doesn't watch it because I don't want to be like my grandmother that's sitting there in New York scared of everything because she watches the news all day.
But no, you have to take a break. You have to take a break a little bit.
I think the problem is we have to look at the connection between the two, between the guy that goes into the school to shoot the kids,
yeah,
kids to go off and shoot this guy randomly.
There's a larger conversation exactly about gun control.
Yeah.
So again, we can talk about gun control. We can talk about who's raising these kids. Like, what does that environment look like, and why has it been such a breakdown of family and community?
Video games, we shoot all that.
So to the point that you made, Antoine, they have been charged with first-degree felony murder, mm-hmm. the 15 and 16-year-old as adults, and in Oklahoma, the death penalty is in play. So, as you said,
they're getting what they deserve.
Exactly. Yeah. Justice will be served.
They're not going to be in the news talking about how they're going to law school so they can get away with it again. Like
exactly.
Zimmerman
got interviewed and then was sent home.
Yeah.
So we don't Basically. Have that.
Wow.
The driver has $1 million bond and the two shooters do not have a bond at all. So, yeah, justice being served. So moving on, I want to talk quickly about Bradley Manning now.
Chelsea Manning.
So very quickly, Bradley Manning, who was sentenced to 35 years for, I think it was, he was charged on the espionage, under the Espionage Act. Mm-hmm. So he now is, undergoing hormone therapy, or he started it. But I want Tina to read the quote.
But before I read that quote, I would love for Antoine to tell us a little bit more about Chelsea Bradley Chuck Manning so that Creston can pull up where that thing is.
I don't know what's happening right now.
Tell the viewers a little bit about what Chelsea Manning gave.
What did you do?
what documents that she gave.
Well, I didn't, look, I don't, you know, I'm not claiming to be an expert on
I'm stalling, Antoine.
It's my understanding that Bradley Manning, when he joined the military, and I always get it mixed up whether it was Iraq or Afghanistan. He and, you know, the other soldiers, at some point they got access to a video. And I guess it was one of our helicopters going into a town.
Baghdad airstrike and an Afghanistan airstrike.
Okay. And the video shows it and it just mows down like all these people. And it's a bunch of innocent people. And so he goes into this deep depression because he's like, I didn't fucking sign up for this. This isn't
right?
what I expected. So at that point, I guess somebody turned him on to WikiLeaks and he started leaking. He leaked the video. He started leaking anything he could get his hands on. He started leaking it to WikiLeaks. And that's basically, you know, the story behind.
So he's had a gender identity disorder since childhood, mm-hmm. and released a statement the day after sentencing where he identified himself as female. And now Tina is going to read his quote.
As I transition into this next phase of my life, I want everyone to know the real me. I am Chelsea Manning. I am a female. Given the way that I feel and have felt since childhood, I want to begin hormone therapy as soon as possible. I hope that you will support me in this transition. I also request that, starting today, you refer to me by my new name and use the feminine pronoun. Accept an official mail to the confinement facility. I look forward to receiving letters from supporters and having the opportunity to write back. Again, another reality show star. Yeah. For real. Like, for real. Yeah. That's what
I didn't see that shit coming at all.
Another, for real.
So he is going to a men's military prison in Leavenworth, Kentucky, where transgender female inmates in a men's prison are 13 times more likely to be the victims of sexual assault.
Yes.
And they usually end up in solitary confinement.
I totally assumed he was going to end up in solitary.
I mean, how else is he going to?
Yeah. When
she,
you're, when
I'm
you're,
sorry, she. Wikipedia now refers to him as she.
Yeah, that's great.
I mean, I was like, wow, that's
quick. They should, but they think that it's going to end up going to court because you say that you want the hormone replacement
that's
therapy, you don't
he
always
wants
get
hormone
it.
Replacement
so
therapy.
He's probably going to end up in court again because they're probably going to refuse it, and he's going to have to try and fight
is.
To get it.
Now I'm okay. Now I want to see the other side. Now I want to be compassionate. What if really he just feels that he is a female and he wants to live out his life, who he truly is.
What? You thought, wait, you thought otherwise?
Yeah.
You thought, when you said you just wanted, like, you thought otherwise? Like, I didn't think he was doing this.
I don't think we're all questioning that.
Yeah, I never questioned that. That's some serious shit. Like, my question now is, he doing the full things? He getting the dick cut off? He make the clitoris?
No, no, no.
Would he be allowed to get these things in prison?
My question, yeah. When he's saying all this stuff, like, write me, refer to me as this, this, and that. I feel like there is some publicity. There's a attention.
Everybody wants to be a star.
Yeah, that's what I'm. That's what I.
I mean, he clearly.
Okay, I see what you're saying.
Clearly, he has a platform, and so he's making the statement. Yeah. And because of he's been charged, everyone knows who he is. His statement is getting a lot of press.
And maybe he thinks he's championing something because he didn't think he was doing that before.
Oh yeah,
I think
yeah.
He thinks he's championing.
I guess
I think he knows there's going to be a lawsuit coming out of this.
My thing is the logistics of it.
Yeah.
Like. You're clearly gonna have to be in solitary confinement. Like, you're going to a military prison where, as there's an article in Jezebel, and they're like, in military prison, they just do shit. Like, it doesn't, there's no even sort of rhyme or reason to, like, a structure of
it. It ain't like you go there and, like, find a boyfriend and then go live happily ever after. Like, it's like, no, that's not how it works.
Right. Even more sort of entrenched, sort of, like, rules to how this thing goes down than, let's say, regular prison.
Yeah.
It was the point I think the article was trying to make.
Maybe you'll meet a guard.
You're saying it's really rough there. It's
yes,
rough.
Exactly. So, even but I think the point they were trying to make is even sort of more so than regular prison.
Not if you're a woman in there
in military prison.
Oh,
does he want this particular attention
know.
As a woman?
That's some, so you're saying as a transgender woman in a men's
he might be living a life. He might be taking.
He might be
girl.
Kidding me.
He might
oh
be.
Oh my god! Y'all killing me right now.
He might be.
Okay, so
because
very
if
quickly.
I'm in prison for 35 years. What does it matter if I have a penis or a coochie?
Yeah.
He actually might only serve 8, by the way.
He might
with time served
probation. And I'm sure he's going to be a model. I think he doesn't seem like the type to stir up anything.
So very.
Might stir it up with.
Exactly. He is going to be getting it on all day.
Oh, out of control.
I don't even. I mean, there was
sorry,
some stuff
not,
I wanted
sorry.
To say. Wait, say it again.
If you're not Chelsea Chuck, I'm so sorry.
Said, stir it up. Y'all nasty. Y'all nasty.
He added the visual.
I am an artist.
Kenny, I think you do bring up a good point. Well, who asked the question about whether or not he should he be permitted to have these procedures done while he's incarcerated?
He did.
So, and I think that is a very good question because prison, you're supposed to be provided adequate care, but
that's extra.
Exactly. Yeah. And so that becomes the question surgery. Is does this qualify as adequate care or is this above and beyond?
But they also, I mean, the reason there's a fine line is because they, in some, depending on who you talk to, they view it almost as like a mental disorder, and it's like you're torturing the person if you don't give them access to the hormones to be who they really want to be. I'm kind of on the same page as you.
I mean,
I think that's excessive because of the cost, and you're being punished.
So the legal recourse would be that he would have to argue. She would have to argue that the military is engaging in cruel and unusual punishment by denying her hormone therapy.
Yeah.
So I want to quickly move on. More gun stuff.
I understand being tortured, though. Understand being tortured by your sexual. I just want to make that clear because I know there are a lot of people that are, you know, tortured by their sexuality.
I don't think we're making fun of that. I'm just
this whole life. Now when I go to prison, why do I?
Well, I'm just like it's the logistics of it. Like literally the logistics of you as a transgender woman going to a male facility.
Well,
but I think
he'd be punished.
Yeah. But I think though beforehand he had already started the process.
No, I think I don't know if he had started hormone therapy.
Yeah, but he was wearing wigs and stuff. He was going, correct. And what they do is before you go through the hormone replacement, they do put you on a pathway where you're supposed to dress up.
And
the because it's a psychological thing, because a lot of people, when they see how serious the hormone replacement therapy is, they end up not going through with it. So they advise people to kind of dress up, play dress up at first and see how you're affected by that. So
I'm sorry, we have one more gun thing, which I hate. There's one more gun story, which I hate to bring up, but I'm like, it just was so completely out of pocket. Again, talking about gun control in the U.S. There was a Florida couple who assaulted a Dunkin' Donuts worker for giving them the wrong coffee. They wanted vanilla-flavored coffee.
Can I tell y'all, this gave me life.
Really?
This brought me back to life.
Hold on. They wanted vanilla-flavored coffee. Instead, they got caramel-flavored coffee. And the man took a fully loaded 9mm gun and started hitting the employee over the head a number of times. Then a fist fight ensued. So Antoine says this gave him life.
I'm just saying, because number one, let me tell you, when I started reading it and I saw it was in Florida, I'm like, par for the course. And the girlfriend slash wife, whatever she is, she's like, guys, shoot him! Fucking shoot him!
And Dunkin' Donuts!
And Dunkin' Donuts!
Now, were you able to ascertain, did this start at the drive-thru?
It started in the drive-thru.
Okay.
They place the order, they drive off, they check, they get ready to drink, and it's like, oh, this nigga done gave me the wrong, fuck this nigga, then he goes back.
So
with,
mad.
We're gonna kill him.
Yes, he goes inside the store. Yeah,
that's the video I saw. I saw the video.
That was after the drive-thru. Okay, the drive-thru wasn't on film.
Go ahead.
It's deplorable. It's sad.
It's horrible.
It shows again that we are absolutely desensitized in life. We're absolutely deaf. Life means nothing in this world.
Technology has surpassed our humanity.
Perhaps.
Yeah, I agree with that. That's a good assessment.
Perhaps that's what it is.
We're going to end on a positive note. This weekend marks, this past week marks the 50th anniversary of the March on Washington. And there have been events all week. And then I think on the 28th is the actual date of when the march happened. So this Saturday, there is a march in Washington. There's a march in LA right now.
I'm so lazy with this. Like, I'm just like, what's on TV? Like,
wow.
Isn't that horrible?
I'm terrible.
A horrible person.
So quickly.
I'm so detached from all of that right now.
I think a lot of us are. You're just being honest.
Yeah.
You're just being honest.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, quickly, the 1963 March on Washington was a watershed moment in the American Civil Rights Movement because it was attended by 250,000 people. It was graced by King's speech at the Lincoln Memorial, and it was followed by the passage of the Civil Rights Act of 1964, but we apparently could all give a fuck. So.
No, we care.
As far as Washington.
Okay, on that note, we are wrapping up.
I went to the Million Man March.
Wonderful. Good job.
We were at the same time. Yeah,
good job. We are wrapping up segment one. If you could follow that, kudos to you. Come back for segment two.
We're back.
Oh my God, are we? Oh my
back
God.
Back in a big
conversation off camera. Woo!
So I'm handling a featured artist this week, and I'm starting a new, this is the part one for, I'm calling it Rare, Unreleased, and Remixed. I'm just going to go through some songs of some artists that you're probably familiar with, and then I'm going to let you know maybe the story behind how the song came to be and maybe a predecessor to what ended up being the final version of it. So this week we're going to do Janet Jackson and Michael Jackson, and for the most part it's going to be unreleased singles and B-sides from Rhythm Nation, and same thing for Thriller. The first song is called You Need Me. It was on the B-side. I remember buying the single for Miss You Much.
The single.
Yeah, the single.
I love the single.
And and she had this B-side on it called Miss You Much. And honestly, I didn't even listen to it initially. I was listening to Tom Joyner's On the Move, which was a syndicated radio show that Tom Joyner used to have. And he played it one time.
Okay.
And I'm listening to it, and when it went off, he's like, man, she lit a fire in the Joe's ass. And so I'm like, I have the single, because he mentioned it was a B-side. So I went and I replayed it. And look, the first verse, the beginning of the first verse, as a child, I missed a lot of love I never had. Daddy, he was distant, never there to hold my hand. Okay, that's verse number one. The second verse starts with, Daddy, Daddy, dearest, what is it you want from me? I won't turn my back on you the way you did with me. It's a heavy song.
So, as I'm listening to that song, I was like, wow, she was airing out some serious family issues.
Yes.
And I was listening to it, like, at work, and I was like, wait, what'd she say? What?
Yeah, yeah.
That's actually very deep, because I never can really understand what the hell Janet is saying. So, I'm listening to it like I'm bored to death. I'm so bored. It sounds like every other song that Janet Jackson does. I get why Antoine picked her. I feel like she's a very gay type of artist. Like, I feel like gay.
This has nothing to do with gay.
No. I'm just saying, I'm really being honest. I feel like a lot of gay people love Janet Jackson.
That's not why she was picked, though.
I would say Beyonce over Janet, but keep going.
Don't get defensive at all.
I'm not getting defensive. I just want people to understand that had nothing to do with her being picked.
No. I really think that she addresses a lot of issues, and the way she dances, the way that she moves, I think she really touches a lot of gay people. I'm just being honest with that, baby.
That's fine.
I think she touches a lot of people.
You don't think so?
No, she does, but that's not why I picked her. I picked the Jacksons because they have a lot of unreleased.
I didn't say you picked her because you're gay. That's not what I'm saying
I'm grilling this in because I got a lot of shit to go through.
You see what happens? Y'all see what happens?
Anyway, I didn't get her at first.
Fucking tangential ass West Virginia negrified motherfucker. So, at any rate.
You don't have to bring up my West Virginia. I'm very proud of
you. You brought up gay.
What it has to do with
you
it.
Exactly. You brought up gay.
Why is gay a negative thing?
So,
it doesn't
negative. I'm going to impose a martial law on Tina this week because I got shit I got to talk about. So, actually, if you listen to the song, it's kind of a predecessor, even though it's a different album. The melody of it, it sounds a lot like If. If you listen to the two and compare them. So again, the link will be here and you'll be able to go and listen to it and judge it for yourself. But it's a heavy song.
I liked Work.
See, I did. And I was kind of like, man.
Okay,
really?
Work.
I liked Work.
Yeah, Work is the next one. Work, now, You Need Me was released, but it was released as a B-side. Work is a song that was never released. It's produced by Brian Lauren. And Brian Lauren has worked with, he did most of Vesta Williams' first couple albums. He did Shanice Wilson's entire first album, Discovery. And he's worked with Michael Jackson as well. He did, remember the Bartman Do the Bartman?
Yeah.
All right. That's Brian Lauren produced it. Michael Jackson is doing the background vocals on Do the Bartman. He's uncredited on the song.
What's funny is I'm like, it sounds very 1989. Like, I was like, eh.
No, but it is an old song.
I know, but it's just the flow of it. Some things are timeless, but this one, I was like, sounded very much that era.
Well, and it's supposed to, because there's a lot of stories behind Work, and we'll never get the full story because Janet never talks about it.
She's so secretive about everything.
Yeah, but I mean, at the same time, you should protect. You don't
She's
want.
A tar,
yeah,
like I don't.
I gotta say.
Continue.
That.
Yeah. So Work. The two stories is the first story is when After Control was really successful. When it was time to work on the follow-up, Jimmy Jam and Terry Lewis were like, yeah, we want $1 million to produce our following album. And A&M Records were like,
no.
We'll call up Brian and we'll get some shit started with Brian. That nigga ain't gonna ask for $1 million. So Work allegedly was the result of Janet working with Brian Lauren.
Okay.
All right. The other story was that A&M, actually the follow-up to Control, was supposed to be an album called Work. And that this was one of the singles from the lead single. I actually don't think any of those stories are true, because the sound from Work is very industrial, and Rhythm Nation is a very industrial sounding album. So if nothing else, it just sounds like they had Brian Lauren try and compliment most of the songs that Jimmy Jam and Terry Lewis were working on, even maybe for a short, small discount. Like,
I got you.
You guys do the whole album, we go have Brian do a couple tracks. We're going to save some money. Because it sounds like it could fit into it. Because when Jimmy Jam and Terry Lewis talked about the sound for Rhythm Nation, they said he wanted it to sound really industrial. And they actually sampled, they would hit the top of like trash can lids. And they sampled that for a lot of the drum sounds. So
okay.
That's Work.
Works for me.
Yeah. Skin Game. The Skin Game was the B-side for Come Back to Me. And Johnny Gill is doing background vocals on it. I'm familiar with this song because WGCI in Chicago used to play it all the time.
GCI.
Yeah, and I didn't know where they were getting it from. I'd ask friends, like, where's this song? Because I have Rhythm Nation. It's not on it. So I finally went and I figured it out. I got the 12-inch to Come Back to Me, and it was on there. It samples James Brown's I Don't Want Nobody to Give Me Nothing. Open up the door and I'm getting myself. That's why I played that video earlier.
I was wondering why that was, but I didn't make that connection.
Yeah, it's a strong sample, and it goes round, round. Yeah, it's a pretty strong sample.
The Skin Game, I was kind of like.
Yeah, I knew where it came from because me and my dad, were in the car one day, and the song came on. He goes, "That's James Brown." I said, what do you mean James Brown? He named the song. And first I'm like, James Brown really has a song called "I Don't Want Nobody to Give Me Nothing, Open Up the Door and I'll Get It Myself."
Yeah.
So, I
can
buy that.
Exactly. That was James.
Yeah. So I'm going to have a link to James Brown's song. You'll be able to hear it. And the last Janet one is Rhythm Nation. She has a remix. It's got a bunch of samples. It's got Chuck D samples in it.
Chuck D from Public Enemy?
Yeah. Bass.
Oh, shit.
Right. How Low Can You Go?
Love it.
The Rebel, the Rhythm. Those little quotes from Chuck D are sampled in the song.
I did like it. I like that mix.
Yeah. I think it bangs a little more in the original. It feels like it's a tad bit faster, but they're probably the same tempo. It's more bass heavy than the original as well. But the hook on is a little bit different. Janet's vocal is more pronounced on the hook of this one. In the regular version, you hear it's like a stadium of people saying, you know, people out of the world today. In this one, she said, people out of the world today. She just jumps out. I've been looking for a better way of life. She just jumps out and says it. So
I'm being hard on her, but the truth is, when that song came out, I was trying to do every single dance, and I was all into it. That was bad.
I was obsessed with Janet Jackson.
No, she was historical. Obsessed. It was a big time in life.
I used to wear my key on my earring.
Girl, I need to see a picture of that.
None of that shit.
I need to see a picture of that.
That existed. That happened. That's real.
Was that a key to her snake?
Ooh, I don't know about that.
Yeah, no. That key that Janet wore on her earring, it was to her snake.
It
was her snake cage.
Really?
Yeah. She and Michael were big with the animals. Yeah, she had a. I think it was a boa constrictor.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Mine was my house key.
Yeah, you weren't real, nigga.
Yours is big as hell.
I hope she's doing well.
It was.
Big ass operator.
Wait a minute. You hope Janet's doing well? She's married to a goddamn billionaire. Are you kidding me?
And she had her own money.
As we know, money isn't everything.
Especially if you've had it for a long time.
Yeah, it's not.
That doesn't equate happiness.
That's nothing.
I want to live that life.
I know she really wanted to have kids. I know she wanted things in her life, and she doesn't have those things.
So I think she's just fine.
I think she's just fine.
Go. Michael Jackson.
Okay, Michael Jackson. First one is a song called Starlight. And look, I was blown away by this. It's like, it was like somebody pulled back the curtain. Yeah.
I was surprised. I was like, what are they talking about?
Explain.
This is thrill. I was like, this is Thriller.
Let him explain.
So the story behind Starlight is Rod Temperton from Heatwave. He did a lot of the songwriting on Off the Wall, and he doesn't get enough credit because if you listen to Boogie Nights and you listen to Michael Jackson's Off the Wall, the actual song, they sound a lot alike.
He wrote Always and Forever.
Yes.
What boy wrote that?
Yeah. So Rod Temperton, because Off the Wall did so well, they brought him back in. Quincy still wanted to work with him on the follow-up. They didn't have a title for Michael's follow-up. They just knew they wanted to be a little more mature. So Rod came up with a title. He was going to call it. He had a concept because he came up with the concept for Off the Wall. Quincy's like, give it another shot. You hit a home run the last time. So he decided, Midnight Man. That's what they were going to call the album.
Midnight Man.
Midnight Man. And then they were going to have the lead single. Was this song called Starlight?
Look on your face, it's hilarious.
It was either going to be called Starlight or Midnight Man. So in the end, it ended up being called Starlight. So they, Rod put the music down. And Starlight, basically, it's the same music from Thriller. But before they came up with the concept for Thriller, it was called Starlight. And you listen to the song, the lyrics are different. Instead of him saying Thriller, he's saying Starlight. It's a mess.
Can you imagine the video?
Bananas. Yes.
It's stars chasing and shit.
I like it.
No.
It's kind of metaphysical about the stars. I love it. I think
it does not fit the music. The music fits that spooky, like.
I mean, I love Thriller.
Now, is that it, or are we used to Thriller? You know what I mean?
Rod Temperton's music to me always sounds spooky. Like the song Off the Wall, it's in a minor key, and it's like, it's a feel good song, but.
So what is interesting though about it is like the creative process and how it evolves and how it changes. And how once we get what we get as the finished product, There's been so many iterations of it prior to. Yeah. So please click on this link because it will blow your mind.
It'll blow your mind.
I think Starlight could have been sold and commercialized just as much. It would have been a totally different feel, but maybe we weren't ready for that. Maybe Thriller was more easy.
I think Thriller hit harder.
I'm happy with where we landed with Thriller.
Yeah. And so, the video, but
you don't know what the Starlight video might have been. It could have been something amazing.
But I like the horror aspect of Thriller.
That's what really, and that's partially why it got switched over to Thriller, because at some point, and again, Rod came up with the concept. He just, for whatever reason, he decided Thriller. And they changed it to that. But then it went even further than that, because when Rod wrote the song, he knew he wanted a part in there where somebody was talking.
And how's Vincent Price going to sound on Starlight?
Look, exactly. Look, this is how Vincent ended up on the song. They're in the studio, and he's like, you always wanted a talking part on this song. And Peggy Lipton, who was Quincy Jones' wife at the time from Hawaii Five-O, she's like, we should get Vincent Price on it. And Quincy's like, why Vincent Price? She's like, because I fucking know him. I'll call him. She called up Vincent. By the time Vincent came through, they had switched it to Thriller. And Vincent, that's history.
Wait, so it became Thriller because of Vincent Price?
No, I think they knew they wanted to have somebody talk on it. When Peggy suggested Vincent, it still wasn't Thriller. Really? So Vincent would have came in if they decided not to change it. He'd have been talking about something that involved fucking stars and planets or something.
Okay, next song.
Yeah,
kooky.
Next song.
Yes, Chris.
We don't have a lot of time.
Starlight was amazing to me though, because Thriller.
You're right. We've been on Starlight.
It's
for
so
minutes.
Weird.
We
it's
have.
So weird.
We gotta clean it was Carousel. Right,
the next one is Wanna Be Starting Something. Now,
wait, no, you skipped Carousel. Carousel was good. Just say Carousel was good. It was well written. I like Carousel.
I have a specific order things in.
I'm sorry.
Remember, you snapped on me one time.
I'm sorry. Remember that?
I'm
sorry.
When I corrected you on how many Grammys Miss Education Lauryn Hill had.
You have issues, man. You really have some issues when it comes to you and your music and all your stats, okay? I'm not a big stat person.
I'm glad
you're so fucking good with your stats.
Wait, what was the next song?
Okay, yeah.
You are cut exactly. off. Cut off!
The next song is Wanna Be Starting Something. I just want motherfuckers to have the right info. Wanna Be Starting Something.
Ooh, don't try to stab me on the low on this business, okay? Because I'll come right back.
Look, Wanna Be Starting
Something. You have to separate the two. Go!
Wanna Be Starting Something, which everybody's heard before.
You're too high to get over. Too low to get under.
Stuck in the middle. And vegetable.
Okay. Wanna Be Starting Something was originally supposed to be on Off the Wall.
Okay.
Wow.
Yeah.
Older song.
Even weirder than that, it was actually written for LaToya Jackson initially.
Oh, no. God.
Yeah, it was written for LaToya.
Oh, we shouldn't be like that.
You're the one who's like that. Go. Oh,
yeah, so they changed the lyrics up. If you listen to the demo, the lyrics were different initially. But there's three versions of it. There's a demo from 1979, which nobody has ever heard. I'm sure that one sounds a lot different from the following demos, because the demos that you hear, the ones you're gonna have a link to, they sound a lot like the finished version. So they released a version of it on the This Is It album that accompanied.
I like the Wanna Be Starting Something. I like it.
Yeah, I like version that song too.
Yeah, yeah. And so that's and there's also lastly, PYT. PYT actually was a mid-tempo song. That
didn't sound bad though.
No.
The original, it's slow. I think it's slow. I think it's absolutely different.
It's very, very different.
It's a completely different song.
I mean, granted, I don't know if it would be the hit that it was with the faster version. It's so amazing, but yeah. I loved it. Yeah. I would listen again to this slow version of PYT.
Yeah, it's a really good song. And just so you know, in 2008, when they did Thriller 25, the 25th anniversary of Thriller, they let Will.i.am do a remix of PYT. But when he did the remix, he didn't use the actual vocals from the actual version. He used the version that preceded the one that we're used to hearing. So,
what makes you know all of this? Like, do you look
Carousel? Because I do.
Yeah. Like, who?
Just quickly say about Carousel, because
I do need to know.
There's nothing to say about Carousel. It was when they've done some re-releases of Thriller. And they've included Carousel, a song that was finished, but they didn't.
Human Nature was chosen and said, "I love Human Nature." I actually think that was a good call. But Carousel, I really do like the song.
Yeah. It's very pretty.
Or it's also called Circus Girl.
I made a playlist with all of these songs. So there's another song because Human Nature was done by one of the guys from Toto, and I have the demo version that he actually sings on is going to be in the playlist.
Okay.
But there's a song called Hot Street, another one called Nightline, another one called Trouble, another one called For All Time, and another one called Someone in the Dark. Those are all songs that are now available to listen to that were scrapped from the Thriller Project. So,
okay.
I'm gonna leave it at that for Michael. Okay. Yeah, we'll just go into the other music. I'm on the new singles.
Okay.
Tamar Braxton, All the Way Home.
I like her voice.
Mm-hmm.
Tamar, whatever, but it's a pretty song, and I like her voice.
Yeah, I didn't dislike the song.
Yeah,
it was decent. Yeah. It was better than what I thought.
I think that's where I'm at, too.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think she needs something a little more banging in order to really... And the album comes out on September 3rd, so...
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Janelle Monáe featuring Miguel, Primetime.
I love this duo. Yeah. I think this is a good pairing.
I love
it.
Miguel.
It was a good pairing.
I'm a
good pairing.
Big fan of Miguel.
The guitar riff reminded me of Prince.
Finally we got a song we both...
It's the
same type of guitar that was on Purple Rain.
Yes,
it sounds just like
that
guitar.
I was like, why am I thinking about Purple Rain right now?
That's what it is.
I just like Janelle's voice in the beginning, and I always love when Miguel comes into a song. I think he's absolutely amazing. So it was a great song.
I think that's how I feel, too. Yeah.
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 London Higher.
I didn't understand what the fuck was happening. I was bored.
You know, I almost didn't send you the video. I was gonna just send you the song.
I
liked the song. The video I didn't, because I heard the song before I saw the video.
I probably should have heard the song.
I enjoyed the song. It was different.
I was just like, no. Just no.
It was decent. I think you would like it. It was nothing overwhelming, but it was decent.
No.
Nice.
Okay.
Chris Brown going to videos. Chris Brown featuring Nicki Minaj. Love More.
Again, it was... Oh, sorry. You go ahead, Kristen.
This is the first time I actually felt sorry for him.
Aww.
I felt sorry for him.
Why did you feel sorry
for him? Because you're trying too hard. I don't know what the fuck is going on with you anymore. I didn't understand what was happening in the beginning. With the random chick coming, yelling at him. I was like, I don't understand who you are anymore. For the first time since the beating... I'm like,
oh,
I feel sorry
the
for
beating.
You.
Wow.
I feel sorry
He did
for
a little
you.
Mini comedic video towards the beginning of this video.
Attempt at comedy.
Was it funny?
No,
it wasn't funny, but I appreciated him trying. And the beat is good. The beat is good. You will dance. I think it can make you get up and dance a little bit.
I hate this song.
Damn. It was decent. I mean, it's not
overwhelming. I don't even think it's decent. It's a bad song, and these are supposed to be our musical heroes right now. Nicki and Chris Brown. Chris Brown, as far as R&B, other than Miguel, I mean, who else is there?
And this is from a Ciara fan. So if he doesn't like it, then...
Please, Travis Garland.
All right. Travis Garland, Klaus, I like the video and the song.
No, I was like, who is this and why am I supposed to care about this?
I liked it!
Wait, who is he?
I was surprised!
Does it matter who he is?
It doesn't matter, not necessarily. I had never heard of him, so I was trying to give him a chance. So I'm letting it play, and I'm like, no.
I thought he sounded fantastic, and the video was well done.
Again, that might be one of those
He's
where
a fringe artist. I don't think he's...
I just need to listen to it and not... Because I was like, who... First of all, I was like, who is this cat? And then as it started to play, I was like, I don't...
You're right. The visual of him could throw you off.
Yeah, he's got a funny haircut. He's a skinny white dude. Small white dude.
Literally, my first reaction was like, who the fuck is this? And why am I supposed to care?
I enjoyed it.
Go ahead.
Anyhow, hating ass niggas. Ricky Martin, come with me.
I love it. I dig Ricky Martin.
Let me tell y'all.
Man, I like
Ricky had me feeling some kind of way up in this video. He looks like he's done growing. Like, he looks like a grown man now.
I loved it.
He ain't on that pretty boy stage. He looks like, you know, he got some twins. He's a father now.
He was hot.
He looked fantastic.
He was hot. He was feeling
He still looked yummy. I'll give him that. The music
was... The song was okay.
We're hearing from Devin that he does capoeira. That's what makes his body so good.
Of course he does.
An African R.
Go.
Give it up.
Of course he does.
Give it up.
Lady Gaga, applause.
The video was great.
It was amazing.
I appreciate her artistic genius.
No, I really have to give it to her for the video.
Yeah, it was
the video.
I don't even know. I think she has on like a parachute. She has different things going on.
Yeah, it's really weird.
I can't even explain.
It is weird, but visually, honestly, it's captivating. Like, you're kind of like, what's about to happen next? So I have to give it to her for that.
She basically probably has about 7 different personas that she embodies throughout the video.
Yeah, at least.
And towards the end, like, there's the one with the purple when she starts walking out. There's one with purple. There's one where there's, like, a snake. Her head is on, like...
The swan is what it was.
She's got a tail somewhere.
Yeah.
There's a lot going on.
Yeah. So it was cool. Now, Ariana Grande and Nathan Sykes.
It was well done.
They have nice voices. They have beautiful voices.
Well done, and I think sometimes when we talk about the video, I think... Again, this was one where I did not want to send you guys the video because I'm like, if I send them the song, they're going to feel differently. I'm able to watch a video and say, the video I don't like, the song is beautiful. They sound amazing on this song.
Their voices are phenomenal. No, I love their voices. But yeah, the video, I was like, whatever. But their voices sound
amazing. It's from my house.
I wouldn't look at the video. I just listened to them because I didn't want to look at
them. Their voices are beautiful.
They are, yeah.
Now, you know, this is the same girl. We talked about her before, Ariana Grande. She had the song with Big Sean, the one that sampled...
yes, that's why I know her name.
Rain Dance from Jeff Lorber.
This shows out her voice a lot more.
And
once I finally looked at her, she's a Disney chick.
Yeah, she's a Disney girl.
But she also has another song out right now that's something about bad boys. Wait, I don't think it's a Big Sean. She has something else that's out
right now.
I really
singles.
Like a lot.
Okay.
So, no, I'm okay. I'm cool with her.
All right. Blurred Lines, 11 weeks at number one.
Oh, Marvin Gaye.
And speaking of Blurred Lines.
Okay, it's an absolutely amazing song. You have to give it credit because it makes me get up and dance every single time. It's an absolutely wonderful song. But what I think he should have done, Robin Thicke, is he should stand up in the beginning and say, I thank Marvin Gaye. I thank you for the song. Because the song is clearly Marvin Gaye. It's clearly the energy that Marvin Gaye had. All his energy was put into this song.
And everybody okay, does this. Why should he have to acknowledge when nobody else does?
Well, I don't know why anybody else
does. Did Ariana Grande, should she just sit up and say, thank you, Jeff Lorber, thank you, Little Kim.
It is making him millions of
dollars. And he offered them six figures. He offered them money.
Okay, pause.
He didn't do it.
Pause.
Just say thank you.
Quickly, as we talked about last week, Robin Thicke took the brand of strike of suing to sort of get it clarified what's going on with whether or not he actually did use their songs or not, because as Antoine pointed out last week, they were coming at him wanting money. So he did offer them six figures to try and kill all of this. They were like, no. So now what came out this week is that they interviewed Marvin Gaye 3.
Mm-hmm.
Is he slow?
He's got a disease.
Is he slow?
He's got kidney failure or something.
Is he slow?
I don't think he's slow.
I don't know the story. I'm not going to.
He was just laid out on the couch.
He's probably a lot like his dad.
The spokesperson for the family is D. Extra Wiley. That's his name.
Extra Wiley.
D. Extra.
It's a problem. It's a problem.
That's the spokesperson for the family.
I don't think he's slow. I think he's just a simple guy, a simple dude.
Who's promoting his own album.
Yeah,
how do we
was.
Feel about hip? I mean, hip hop is sampled all the time, and just
that's
like
what
today,
I'm saying.
Like with Lil Lewis and all, we hear things all the time. I mean, I don't know. I'm on the fence about it. In one way, it sort of reintroduces the kids to music that they're not hip to, but most of them don't know the reference, though.
Right?
Okay, you're right. It is sampled all the time, but they don't score these major hits. This is such a huge major hit.
Let's be clear here. The bigger problem is not whether people sample or whatever. That's par for the course with music right now.
Yeah.
The issue here is that this song claims that a certain number of people wrote it, and Marvin Gaye's estate is not, they're not profiting from it. So that's different. When you sample a song, you have to negotiate with the person that owns the masters and the publishers. So you don't have to stand up. You paying the money. They're getting money automatically when you do that, because you have to negotiate. The issue here is your shit sounds a lot like mine, and I'm not getting no money. What the fuck? That's the issue.
That's really in a nutshell.
That's a big issue.
And you say six figures, so we're saying $100,000 perhaps. I don't think that's enough, because Robin Thicke is getting way, way more, like ridiculous.
Yeah, but again, at
so
the same time.
So maybe a percentage, if they worked out a percentage of each sale or whatever.
But here's how you have to look at it. If they re-release Gotta Give It Up today, it's not going to sell like Robin Thicke's song did. So Robin is part of the reason that this song is popular. So let's not act like the fact that it sounds like Gotta Give It Up is the reason that it's blown up. It's a combination Pharrell is in the video. T.I. is in the video.
Right.
Titties are in the video.
You're absolutely right. It is a combination of things.
Yeah.
But it was totally built upon that. The energy of this song is straight Marvin Gaye. What is making you move is straight Marvin Gaye.
So to Tina's point, when I read that Robin Thicke was like, yeah, you know, that he was like, that's one of my all-time favorite Marvin Gaye songs. And then he says, you know, he was like, we should do something like this. And then he's like, literally wrote the song in an hour. Like, we listened to that song, and then we wrote our song in an hour. So even those are his words.
But you know what? I know that sounds incriminating, but that's a lot of times how the musical process works. You admire somebody.
No, you develop your own stuff. You make your own stuff. Create your own stuff.
People copy shit all the time.
Well, they need to stop doing that.
Look at Motown.
If they're going to do that, then they need to compensate them more.
So what you said, Antoine, it does sound incriminating, but that's just it. And another comment was, Yeah, you wrote your own song in an hour because you have that
Let me propose this to you. If you heard Chris Brown say the same thing about Fine China, it could have happened in the exact same way. But Fine China doesn't, you know, you hear it. You hear Michael Jackson in Fine China, but you can't put your finger on which song it is exactly.
Fine China isn't big enough. I don't even know what the song is.
It doesn't matter how big it is. It just matters that it happened.
It absolutely does matter how big the song is.
You're right. I do hear Michael, but I hear Michael in Fine China, but it's because it's sort of like, it's a little bit of the music, it's a little bit of his singing. It's not one particular song, which I do feel like it's a little different. So I'm like, had I just kind of casually heard Marvin Gaye, as opposed to I hear this particular Marvin Gaye song.
Yeah. Oh, and let me be clear. They fucking jacked this song. I'm just playing devil's advocate here.
That's all we're saying.
If I was Robin Thicke and Pharrell, and I don't even put T, I ain't had shit to do with putting the song together.
Yeah, I was just happy.
So what I would have done is, again, a lot of songs, I'll give you a perfect example. Keith Murray's The Most Beautiful Thing in the World. That is an interpolation of the Isley Brothers, Between the Sheets. It's not a sample from it. They took the chord progression and they replayed it, and it doesn't sound just like the Isley Brothers version, but it's an interpolation. So what they had to do before they released that song, they had to call up the Isleys and be like, look, we ain't sampling your song, so we ain't got to call the people with the masters. We're calling you because you're the songwriters, you're on the publishing. We are developing a song that uses elements of your song. We're not sampling it though. And then they sit at the table and negotiate. You typically don't pay as much when you're doing interpolation as opposed to doing a sample. So with a sample, you gotta get the publishers on board, and you gotta get the people who own the masters on board. So it's more expensive.
We're done.
They didn't do either.
I think all of that is way too technical. I think
it's completely irrelevant.
Kanye West, we gotta go.
Give him credit and just besides doing a preemptive strike, he needs to give them credit. And be like, listen, you download me, download Marvin Gaye's song. I give him all the credit. This song's from him. He has to do that. He has to be totally proactive.
Okay,
you
know, Robin Thicke is very soulful.
It's a technical issue. It's a technical issue.
Oh, let's keep it moving.
Okay, so we gonna talk about Kanye. Okay. Y'all, did y'all see Kanye on the Kris Jenner show?
Yeah, that was kind of...
I didn't.
What is happening? What is happening?
It's not even what's happening. They released a picture of the baby. My camera's off. So they released a picture of the baby and...
Mm-hmm. And they
and Kanye sounded happy.
Segment, oh my God.
In segment two, because I can't.
Yeah, he sounds like a Valley Girl when he's doing an interview.
Valley Girl.
Dare I say it, like, I mean, just though. really gay. Like, I don't... It's
really?
Yeah. Wow!
Sorry for the technical difficulties last segment.
So, quickly, our today's guest is Kenny Young, who was born and raised on the south side of Chicago.
South side!
He graduated from Columbia College in Chicago with a degree in theater. He currently lives in LA, where he works as a storyteller, actor, writer, director, and he serves as a partner in a production company, James Young Entertainment. As an actor, Kenny has appeared on stage, screen, and television in various productions, including The Little Richard Story, ER, Othello, A Raisin in the Sun, Fences, American Boys, Sacred, The Great Gatsby, and the award-winning One Week, which he also co-wrote.
Mm-hmm.
He has written for the stage and screen as well, namely selling the original spec, Step in the Name of Love, to MGM Studios. Kenny's film directing debut, Red Rum?
Red Rum.
Red Rum which he also wrote, starred in, and produced with James Young Entertainment, recently aired on Showtime, Stars, and the Movie Channel. James Young Entertainment's latest film, Come On Man, written and directed by Steve.
The title was changed. It's not the original title.
Written and directed by Kenny is currently airing on Showtime and Stars. Kenny currently serves as artistic director for the traveling performance troupe, Now What? James Young Entertainment is currently in pre-production for the documentary When the Projects Fail and is geared to shoot the feature film The Night Before in late 2013. We actually have him on the show because he's also recently written a book of collection of short stories called Whoopins.
That's right.
Which Tina has a lot to say about this title. And the book is excellent.
It's a great book.
Kenny Young, welcome. Yay!
Thank you, everyone. Thank you for having me. What a pleasure. How much fun we've had today.
Oh, my goodness.
How much alcohol we've had today.
So what's funny is, like, I mean, clearly we want to talk to you about your film stuff, but, you know, most of us have either gotten through the book or read most of the stories or whatever, so this is excellent. I love it.
Thank you.
Why did you decide to actually put the short story collection together?
Initially, I was like, because I make my living mostly as a writer, like screenplays, and a lot of ghostwriting, too. And in between gigs, I was like, wow, I want to just kind of keep myself sharp. And I felt that I really wasn't in touch with social media as much. Mm-hmm. So I started to post just shorts. I said, well, how can I build a presence for myself in social media? Mm-hmm. So I started to post just short stories on Facebook.
And I remember reading them, yeah.
Yeah, just short stories. I was like, little things about myself. And the title Whoopins came about because nobody wants to hear you talk about yourself and suck your own dick, you know. I was a shit, I did this, you know, everybody loves me. So I said, I'll talk about the mistakes I made, the times I made myself like an asshole, you know, all the things I did. Because we've all, and I think people can relate to that.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
What really connects us is our pain. That's what really connects us. That's what we all have in common. Sure. The things that didn't work out, you know. So just wanted to talk on that.
Okay, good. So Whoopins, because one of the stories in short stories, you want to elaborate about this one particular story with you and your brother and your father.
Yeah.
Yes. So just quickly.
Was basically about when my brother and I thought we could challenge our dad. You know, he came to us and he was going to give us a whooping. That was a big tradition in my home. and he said, well, you guys are getting older. Either you can fight me or take the whooping. And my brother thought he could fight him. So.
Wait, it's funny, because sometimes his mother was the one that conducted the
whooping. Oh, she's usually the disciplinarian.
Yeah, but sometimes they bring in the big dogs, which was the dad.
Dad
would come in after the post office with his pants on from the post office, like a white shirt.
He was actually on his way to the post office.
He was on his way. Oh, wow, look how detailed. Everybody knows. Oh, he had the belt around his neck. And he was like, you know, which one? Would you rather get a whooping or would you rather fight me? And your big brother, Wesley, was like, I'll fight him. And your father, like, took two fingers and punched him in the throat with the fingers.
Shut the hands, took the ears.
And just, he fell out on the floor. And so it was now Kenny's turn. And Kenny came up to his dad and he was like, okay, yeah, you can whip me. So I don't want you to fight you, daddy.
Quickly, though, regarding the title Whoopins, because Tina was just like, I don't understand this phrase, this word.
I've never seen it spelled like that. I would have never known.
But you know the word, right? You just didn't like the spelling.
Well, first of all, I have to say, it wasn't just me. It was me and another girl, Natalie Taylor, in the car, and we were both like, both of us at different times were like, whoopin'?
The fuck what are y'all fucking?
We didn't know. Honestly,
I don't know what
I'm
black
sorry.
Person don't know what a goddamn whoopin' is.
Give me the book. I did not. I would have assumed whoopings was spelled W-H-O-O-P-I-N.
That's why I just asked you. We don't want to get into the semantics whoopings. Of the spelling. I was trying to see if you were familiar with the word.
Okay, how about this?
I wasn't.
Tina, were you ever whooped as a child? Did you ever get a whooping?
No.
What?
See, that's part of the problem.
That's why she can't relate.
Antoine.
I got one. But look,
one.
I was a very well behaved child.
He was a saint.
After when I got that first one, I was like, I don't like this. You're being very aggressive with me, and I don't like this.
So to that point,
never happen again.
So I got one and a half. Okay, because the second attempted one, my dog, we had a German Shepherd. That was actually my brother's dog, but the dog and I were about the same height because I was, you know, five.
Right.
So the dog was my protector. And one day, my mother's like, she still said spanking, but whatever. It was a whooping. Right. And the dog stood in the doorway and just looked at her. And so she had me on her lap and she had the belt and she looked at the dog and she looked at me and she looked at the dog again. Because the dog was like, I'm not going to come in the room, but I don't really like what's going on. So she was like, that's cool.
Oh,
Saved by the dog.
Never had a save.
Which brings up a point in a way. Like, my parents, I think they believed that they could talk to me. Like, I was an intellectual, so we could talk these things through.
My parents talked during the whooping.
Let's think about it, because we're all desensitized towards violence right now. So let's just evolve this and take this a step further. So do you think nowadays, would you be able to talk to your kids if they did something wrong, or would you beat them?
I would talk to them during the beating.
So you would still beat them? You think
that's a compromise?
Yeah, right. It depends. So the first time you fuck up, you'll get a talking.
People need to be hurt to learn, is what you're saying.
It reinforces teaching sometimes. I do believe that. And it gave us a
strip. Okay, this is not a segment on child rearing. It is not. Can't stop it. So, okay, you have a short story about thinking you were a superhero when you were 8.
Correct. Oh, that was cute.
Really? You were about to walk out in front of a car?
Yes. Yeah. I really thought
related to that story.
Yeah, we both read comic books. Reading comic books, you really believe that this is possible. Yeah. I really believe that.
I'm so happy you didn't walk in front of the car.
Me too.
I'm sorry that you got your ass kicked by the bullies.
Yes.
Because you got on them about litter.
Right? Yeah. I thought that was a heroic thing to do.
You have to read the short story.
There's a few of them that stand out to me. One was the janitor. I mean, to be a janitor in a public place where there is shit everywhere, and he teaches you how the best way to clean up shit. Like, I can't imagine.
He had so much pride in what he did.
Like, I'm amazed by that story.
That story amazes me on so many
levels. How long were you on that job as a janitor?
Maybe a month. It was disgusting. It was Union Station in Chicago.
Oh, God.
24 hours. Wow. Everybody's frowning.
Yeah.
24 hours.
And people never stop shitting.
They never flush.
I'm sure there's blood, there's period blood.
Women's bathrooms were nastier than men. I want to make a comment about when he thought he had superpowers. Because both of us are from the South Side of Chicago, so I'm reading it and just I'm going every story he'd say something and just like my ears would perk up because I related to like in with great power there's a portion of where he talks about the trash cans and the dogs knocking over the trash cans. We used to have these metal trash cans and they had a metal lid that went on top. And the stray dogs would always go and tip them over, and I was always the motherfucker that had to clean it up.
Right.
And my father would be like, you gotta go out there. And I'm just like, man, I wanna go play with my friends. Like, but then he also talked about in the same story, there was one of the neighbors, mean asshole lady in his neighborhood, Mrs. Gardner. Everybody had that woman in their neighborhood. Yeah.
So you have the one story about connecting with this white woman. And I'm deliberately saying white woman because that's a big part of the short story. And how you were just like, I can't get past the fact that you're white. I like you. I love hanging out with you. I think you're cool people. She was trying to work with you, took you to see your favorite.
James was called.
Was that a product of your upbringing? Southside Chicago?
I think that was a big part of it. Chicago is extremely segregated. Well, we didn't really
elaborate.
Yeah, we didn't really mix with each other.
Do you think you'd still be that way now?
I think to this day I'm very self-conscious. Like I said in the book, I have to be honest. It's sort of I have mixed views on race. I think in the grand scheme, people are people, and if you find someone you love and everything, you should hook up with them and be with them and you know value that. But on the flip side, I don't think the struggle for black people is over. Mm-hmm. So if I were to pick a mate for life, I would feel obligated to be with a black woman. So if I'm out with a white woman now, even if we're just dating and things, I feel a little self-conscious. Yeah. And I have to admit, the thing that really keeps me grounded in that all the time are the looks I get from black women.
Yeah.
That's just the truth.
Yeah.
That's rough.
Yeah,
but that's the black women's own issues. Don't ever let that stop you from having love.
Yeah,
but
I understand their issues though.
I understand
where it's like, because the black woman's her beauty and value has been compromised
for
hundreds of years in this country.
Yeah.
So it's like for me to
you did not
choose
them on the back.
Exactly. For me to choose another woman over them, it's like it's not in the face. I mean,
have you run into her since
the girl?
Yeah, in the story.
Yes, I have one time.
Okay. Yeah. How was that interaction?
Oh well, she's married now. Married white guy. I mean, she's doing pretty good.
He fucked it up for everybody.
So another date
dating story, which I don't know if you guys got to or not.
Iris?
Joy.
I was thinking
of
Iris.
Which one? Iris?
No, there's...
Oh, no, I read Iris.
Joy Jasmine, yeah.
Which one?
Yeah, I didn't get to that one.
I read Iris. Which one was that again?
Iris was my friend.
Iris was
she's on drugs.
She did drugs.
Yeah. Oh, the drug check.
She lied
yeah.
all the time,
yeah.
too.
Yeah. So, yes, that one. We can come back to that. But Joy, so the Joy story is he sees this fine woman at the grocery store. He follows her to the parking lot. They exchange information. She calls him up. So she is on one level... Bible thumping,
super
religious. On another level, a freak.
Freak. Oh,
oh, oh. She's crazy.
Freak. Yeah.
Yeah. So, what was funny reading that is like this night of like sex and just King reading. He's like, I was turned out, and then I let this go on for what? Like how long?
I saw her for 6 days straight.
Wow.
Every night, 6 days. Wow. After I had to shut it down.
Wow. So that's awesome.
Elaborate about what she would text you.
Oh, she would text me like after we had sex. And I went home and I was feeling great, looking forward to see her again.
Right.
She texted me this long, long email about repent and fornication is wrong, you need to get on your knees and pray.
And
10 minutes later, she texted me a picture of a pussy.
I know her. Oh my gosh.
She's
crazy.
Real talk.
Crazy. Then she said that did she call you one of Satan's disciples and came to
the house? She said the Lord sent me to corrupt her. No, Satan sent me to corrupt her.
That's awesome. Joy
yes.
is great.
Joy. Yeah. Stories. Then, yes, so Iris was another. I mean, that was a little
right.
bit more. It was a little
that's
more
so
sad.
It
yeah,
was
so
sad.
Sad.
I need to know who. I need to know
who the
band.
The actor is.
No, the band. I think the band was Earth, Wind & Fire.
Someone as actor or
rapper
or the band or and those are excellent stories.
Yeah.
I love them.
I have to say, like, for me, I think a lot of people can't write. I'm like, what is wrong with people? Why can't they just write a simple story? And you, it's so simple, but it's so well done. Like, I see everything that you're talking about. You really take me with you throughout the story. You're a brilliant writer. Like,
yeah, that's a good job of painting the picture.
Everybody
yeah.
needs to go out and get this book. And one of the ones that touched me as an artist here in LA is the one when you're talking about your movie, 1 week, that
mm-hmm.
one. And it's such
no one was interested.
It's such,
he says it like no one was interested.
No, wait, it's such a roller coaster ride.
Yeah, that's what it
because
is.
Because it's highs and lows. Like
yeah.
you
mm-hmm.
get a certain amount of fame, like you're at the biggest film fest, Robert Ebert is like thumbs up, people are loving you, and then you can't sell it, then it goes far, then
yeah.
it drops again, and you nothing comes up. It makes you suicidal, and you say that.
Yeah.
You honestly say that because I'm thinking to myself, this is when I feel like I want to kill myself. And you actually finally just said it. I was like, thank you for being honest. It is so rough out here because it makes you bipolar. You're high for a week, and then it drops you for the next
absolutely
6 months.
Yeah.
And it makes you crazy. And you were really honest about it. It was great.
Okay,
was
so speaking
fun.
Of that, so what are you working on now?
Well, I'm actually shooting another documentary in Chicago in a couple weeks. I'm actually headed there.
Okay.
Because for those who don't know, there was a huge community of like housing projects in Chicago
right.
that were torn down.
I think the biggest one people may know about is Cabrini.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's because that one was notorious.
Yeah.
Right, exactly. But I think that is the one most people
yeah.
would.
Yeah.
And, that was, and now that's there are condos there.
Yeah.
You know,
very expensive condos.
Very expensive condos.
Yeah.
And these people were displaced and they were told initially that they would be able to move back and things like that. But there was nothing happening.
They were told they could move back.
Oh, yeah. A lot of them were told they could move back.
Well,
and then when it was time for them to move back, they raised the criteria so high, none of them could come
clearly.
Back.
Clearly.
So they spread them out all over the city.
Okay.
And that's what's contributed, my Chicago brothers know, that's contributed some of the crime in Chicago.
Yeah.
Because you have that project mentality, and forgive me for saying this, but the project mentality in gangs,
mm-hmm.
and then you spread them out in the city,
yes.
put them on different blocks with different gangs and stuff,
so,
and it's not all gangs.
So to that point, because I do want to elaborate a little bit more about what you're actually going to look for in a documentary, but in terms of what's going on in Chicago right now, so you have the dismantling of certain of buildings and housing situation that was happening,
mm-hmm.
you have people dispersed, and then you're closing down 50 schools, and now you're having those kids troop through different neighborhoods that they never had to troop through before, which is gang territory.
Mm-hmm.
This is a lot of chaos that's happening right
that's
now. Cold.
That's why I live
Chicago.
Here.
So now what is the documentary going to look
well,
into exactly?
We have to be careful because if you try to touch on everything, it's going to sprawl and be about
clearly.
A bunch of nothing.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
But we definitely want to touch on, well, like me myself, and I have to be honest about this. Some of them, my parents are still together. Where they live, where I grew up. Yeah, on Princess Pure. Yeah,
awesome.
On the south side of Chicago.
Woo-hoo,
and there are people that moved on their block when the projects tore
okay.
down.
Okay.
And they're like, oh, the project people. And I would drive by and they're all sitting on the porch. I'm like, oh, they're bringing the neighborhood down.
But I never saw it from their perspective.
Yeah.
You know, they weren't, in my eyes at least, they weren't humanized.
Yeah.
They were like,
yeah.
Oh, these project people giving them away. But I never thought about what they had gone through or what they experienced.
Yeah.
So I sort of, exactly. So I sort, we sort of want to humanize that story.
Oh, good.
And
okay.
Just expose how these people were. And this isn't only happening in Chicago.
Mm. Yeah.
Philly, yeah, it's like all over the nation.
Oh, right.
Particularly with Section 8. I mean, because that's a big thing. Because in the suburb where my family is, people get a Section 8 voucher, and it's like they came from somewhere in the inner city, and then they get to move out to the suburbs, and the problem with it a lot of times is they're just not prepared. The kids don't transition properly because they don't, that life is so different from what they're used
to. They never cut grass.
Exactly.
I mean, not that they're not, they don't want to do it, but they just don't have that experience.
I'm sorry, I just want to clarify, because I misheard you. So you're saying it is happening across the country.
Yes.
Yes, right. Okay, that makes sense. Yeah. Okay, great. So, and when do you head off to shoot that?
I leave like mid-September, so in a couple weeks.
Okay.
And I'll be there for a while, but I'll be cutting here. I'll be cutting the film here.
Okay.
So, like, I go and do hundreds of interviews and just try to tell a complete story.
Right.
You know, and not only tell just the people that are displaced, but some of the people who lived on these blocks that had people move in.
Right.
Or the police that are like, can tell you how the crime has jumped.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, just whoever we can.
So give the website for where people can
website, please check it out. It's Kenny Young, www. Why I say W, everyone knows.
You should do it. People are saying
www.kennyyoungstoryteller.com, and that's one Y between Kenny and Young.
Yes.
www.kennyyoungstoryteller.com.
So I want to do a couple quick shout outs. So friend of the show, friend of the crew, Pepper Chambers had a shout out in Huffington Post. Another writer, actor, director.
Oh, it's a fabulous shout out too.
Yeah.
Congrats, Pepper, for real. That's a big deal.
So yeah, so we'll have a link on our page. And then also, because we're sort of talking about entertainment stories, Ben Affleck is the new Batman, and Twitter and the internet.
Y'all feeling some kind of way about
lost their minds, and actually,
I lost my fucking mind,
I
too.
I think he could do it. I think he can hold it.
So what you guys don't know is, like, in between takes, we had our Chicago crew. There's, we have a guest actually in the house today.
Say hi, Devin.
Devin. What's up, girl?
Shoes. Say hi.
There was a really, really. So that's why I didn't want to bring up the Ben Affleck as Batman, because, like I said, Twitter erupted. So one Twitter comment. So first of all, I started a
petition. I wanted to wait. Before you do the petition, I wrote down the craziest comment. I just want to see if you wrote down
this. Go ahead.
This is the one from the article, though.
Okay.
This is literally worse than 9/11.
No, I didn't have that one. I didn't have that one.
That was the first comment underneath the article that she sent me a link to, and I'm just cracking up.
Wow.
Yes.
I didn't have that one. My word.
Yes.
Failed in comparison. So there is a petition. They went to the White House, change.org, like the White House's petition thing. Like one site has already 17,000 signatures saying we don't want him
about
as Batman.
Ben Affleck?
Being Batman.
What?
Was it that serious?
Okay.
People are startled and we're rallying around
people in Syria are being like attacked with chemical weapon warfare and catching
and we're talking about who's going to play Batman?
Over Ben Affleck as Batman.
Wow. Signing petitions to say that they didn't want me. He's not that bad. I think he's decent.
This
is not done.
I think Ben could do a decent job.
The public is trying to prevent Ben from having a
team. No. We're not allowed. You don't have a mic. She's gonna have a fit. She's gonna die. Can he come over here and talk to him?
Oh my
God. Affleck is the new Batman. I'm sorry, Affleck is the next Batman. I hope the villain in the movie wins. One says, I don't think the producers really wanted to sign Ben. They want to play the next Batman. I think they were trying to connect with the Affleck duck.
Jesus.
Cats were going in. The fact that there was just a petition about it is just nuts. There was another one. I don't even know if I can find it now. Oh. Better Batman than Ben Affleck. One, Paula Dean. Two, a cat's butthole. Three, Ben Affleck's mom. Okay, well, four, a number two pencil. Five,
a number two pencil.
You know what? God lied.
very heavy. He has a heaviness to him that brings a certain deep groundedness, darkness to him. Without a doubt, he is great. I love Bell. I love him. But I really think Ben Affleck can bring it. I think it's very possible.
Ben Affleck?
Right. Ben Affleck, okay? I think he will bring
it. Where the fuck did that come from? Ben Affleck!
I don't know. Oh, shut up!
That was weird! Was that not weird?
No,
Ben Affleck! Ben Affleck!
Ben Affleck.
So.
It sounds like a fucking razor.
Yeah.
The last one. The last one I'm going to read. Wait, Ben Affleck gets to be in 2 comic book movies. He's won 2 Academy Awards, and he's dated 2 Jennifers. He must be Two-Faced. Yes,
so no.
Thank you, I did that for you. Okay, we are actually wrapping up the show. Kenny, thank you so much.
Thank you for this was so joining much us. Fun.
You had a good time.
We had more fun than you saw.
Much fun.
Kenny, we'll have to have you back.
Absolutely, I would love to come.
Oh, last remarks. Start with.
Start with her.
No, we're not starting with her. Kenny, we'll have you have to do last remarks.
Last remarks.
Yes.
Yeah. This is deep. What do you want to leave with the world?
What do I want to leave?
You've had a couple good quotes today. So
I need to run these last remarks.
The meaning of life is to give your life meaning.
I love it. I'll go next. That was great. Mine is along the lines of that. Do what you love every single day. Do something that you love every single day. The thing is, it ends up healing you and makes you so happy, but also the beauty of it is it ends up healing the world, because if you do something you love, it raises the vibration of the whole entire universe. And so you have to do that. That is your duty in this world. Do something you love every single day.
Antoine.
I ain't seen the bitch in a week. That is a quote from Kenny's book. My favorite quote from his book. That is my final.
I ain't seen the bitch in a week.
On that note, my last remarks are I'm going to get a massage.
I need to relax.
They've given me an aneurysm. So, please, we're going on hiatus for 2 weeks.
Can I say, I'm very proud of these
really
guys.
Really? You can't wait for our show. Final.
I'm sorry. I just want to say I'm proud of them.
It was a good thing. We don't get a lot of that.
It was good intentions.
It was good intentions.
I don't want to shout it off, but I'm sorry. Go ahead. I wore my welcome already.
Massage.
We are going on hiatus for 2 weeks, so just, you know, chill, catch up on some past episodes,
yes,
and then come
yes
back.
Kenny,
do you want to finish?
Is your massage going to include a penis? That's what I'm for.
Episodes every Monday at www.themadnesscollective.com. We out this bitch. West Side.
I took a circus girl.